Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. And I want you to know we are coming up to my favorite holiday. It's my favorite thing to preach about. But over the last few months, we've been going through our series titled Walking with Jesus. And throughout this series, we have looked at key points in Jesus's ministry, the places that he has walked, he's talked, and he's done some amazing things. And the whole point of this series is to make Jesus real, to see that Jesus was fully human. He was hungry. He had fun. He cried. He was tempted to sin. We have looked at how we can relate to Jesus because he's gone through this life just like we have. But we also get to see how Jesus is fully God as well. He is all-knowing, he is all-powerful, and he can do the impossible. So everything that we've talked about so far has led up to these next 3 weeks that are going into Easter. And last week we had our guest speaker, Josh Beck, talk about Peter's confession. Peter knew that Jesus is God, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior. And Jesus said, I'm going to build the church on your confession of knowing who I am. And it shows us that we all have this part to play, but it's not that we're going to execute this plan perfectly always. So right after Peter is told by Jesus that the church is going to be built on Peter's confession of faith, Peter then becomes selfish and thinks about what he believes is right, and Jesus has to rebuke Peter, and he says, get behind me, Satan. Now that's something none of us ever want to hear from our Lord and Savior, is get behind me, Satan. But it is such an important moment to look at, because in this moment, we're seeing that Peter is not following God's plan, but Peter is actually following his own desires. And we have to understand, even though Peter has messed up, he's not counted out. It's not like, oh, you were so close. You did so well. You gave this confession, and I told you you're going to build the church off of this confession, and then now you went and screwed it up, so never mind. You're no longer going to be a part of that. No, that's not how this works. It's that we can still be used by God, that God is still going to use all the different things that we do in our lives to glorify him, but sometimes we need correction. Sometimes we need to hear the truth so that we can come back and we can refocus on God, throw away our own selfish desires and follow his plan. So this week, we're picking up near the end of Jesus's ministry and journey. We're going to be reading from Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Matthew 26, 36 through 46 from the front. I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows and we have a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. Now, before we jump into Matthew 26, 36 through 46, I have to fill you in on everything that's happened that's leading up to this point so we can understand exactly why we got here, what is going on. And what happened was one of Jesus's followers named Judas, he has decided that he's going to turn Jesus in for the money. So Judas has already struck a deal to hand Jesus over to be arrested. And then Jesus and his disciples, they're all sitting down for a Passover meal. And this is something that would be done and recognized every single year by every practicing Jew. So this is to remember what God did for the Israelites when God led them out of Egypt. It's all the stories with like the plagues and the destruction and the parting of the Red Sea and then the mountain and Moses and the Ten Commandments. And there's all of this amazing, awesome, crazy things that happen when we're going through Exodus. And what I'm going to tell you is I'm urging you, if you've never read it, go to the book of Exodus and read it. If you have already read it, go to the book of Exodus and read it, because you can never read it too much. And that's exactly what was happening with the Passover, is that they were sitting around celebrating that God has freed them from slavery, that God showed up and did some amazing, crazy things for them. But as Jesus is with his followers and they're celebrating this, they're sitting around a table, Jesus knows that Judas is going to betray him, that he has already betrayed him, and he calls out Judas in front of everybody. But Jesus knows also that all of this has to happen because Jesus has to be arrested. Jesus has to be beaten. Jesus has to be killed on the cross for all mankind to be saved. And so when we're going through these verses and we're looking at this, we can understand that there's a lot going on. It's really heavy. And if you go back to verses 26 through 29, we read those in our communion when we're talking about what communion is. And it's because Jesus is saying, I'm going to die soon. I know I'm going to die. And he wants to make sure that the disciples never forget what he's about to do. You know, so some light dinner conversation about how was your day and how's the weather. No, it was heavy. It was so heavy. Jesus is talking about his death. Jesus is talking about being betrayed by Judas. But it doesn't stop there. They go to the Mount of Olives and he tells all the followers that he's going to be taken, that he's going to be abandoned by all of them. And Peter, he gets really huffy and he's like, no way, man, I would never leave you. He says, I would die for you. I will be there till the end. And Jesus just tells Peter, I wish that were true, but no, you're going to betray me as well. And then we get to where we're reading now. So a lot has happened. Jesus talked about his death, talked about all the followers are going to just leave him and some are going to betray him. There's all this emotion. There's so much to process. And then we get to verses 36 through 46. So let's go ahead and read Matthew 26, 36 through 46. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour, he asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. So we start off with it telling us where we're at and who is there. And Jesus takes his disciples and they go to a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus has come here for one thing and one thing alone. Jesus has come here to pray. Jesus says to his followers, I want you guys to stay here, but you three, I want you to come with me. And so he grabs Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which is James and John. And these three get to be with Jesus in his time of need. It says, as they went along together, Jesus became sorrowful and troubled. Again, we love to be able to read this, not because we get to see Jesus suffer. That's not what we're taking joy in. We're taking joy in the fact that this is so relatable. When we have a hard decision to make, When we know what is coming and we know that it's going to be hard, or when we know what we have to do next is going to be painful emotionally and physically, what happens? We become filled with sorrow and trouble. And we see that even Jesus is filled with these emotions. And this is why when we read the Bible and it says, do not be anxious about anything, or put your full trust in God, or God is going to see you through it all and He is good through it all, we can see that it's not wrong to be filled with sorrow and trouble. Jesus, who is the Son of God, who can do it all, who is perfect and blameless, even He was filled with sorrow and trouble. And it says that it was so bad that Jesus tells His followers, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. This is not just a thought process of, well, I hope I did this right, or I hope I don't screw this up. No, this is more like, this is so heavy. This is so big. This is so much to handle. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make it through. And that's what Jesus is doing. And Jesus knows that there is no way that He's going to make it through alone. He needs to do it with God's strength. And that's why He's going off to pray. He's taking all of His trouble, He's taking all of His sorrow, and He is going and praying to God. And as I said before, the men that were with Jesus, they have to know this is big. There's a lot going on. A lot has happened. In the last 24 hours, Jesus has done nothing but talk about His death that is to come. He told all of them about how they're going to betray Him. He has laid some heavy stuff at their feet. And Jesus says to them, I want you to stay here and keep watch with me while I go pray. So Jesus is saying, I'm going over here. I'm going to talk to my Father. I want you just to keep watch, pay attention, stay alert. And then Jesus goes off a little bit to be alone. Again, we see Jesus going off alone. This one-on-one relationship with God is so important. Yes, His companions are close by, but Jesus goes off to be with God with no distractions. Especially on something as big as this, Jesus needs to focus on one person alone, and that's God. And we need to do this as well. Yes, there is good things in camaraderie, having your people around you to help you, to keep you up. But even Jesus, He did bring a few of His followers with Him, but then He stopped and said, I need to go to God alone. And you need to do that as well, with just you and Him. And then it says, Jesus falls with His face to the ground and He prayed. And in a minute, I'm going to show you what this looks like. But when we read this, we do not realize the impact of what this looks like, what it may be, because Jesus here is laying it all out, literally. He is falling to the ground. He is bowing down to God completely, and He is begging to His Father, pleading with God. He says, help me, Lord. Help me through this. And Jesus prays this, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will. And so when you think about what that looks like, because I've seen people kneel and they get on the ground and they kneel down and they're down here begging and pleading, God, please help me. But there's something about just laying flat down on the ground where there's nothing else. It's just you and God. And Jesus is laying here and He says, God, please, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. Make it happen any other way. But then Jesus also says,
but let it be your will be done, and not my own. When we lay it all out, when we lay down completely and say, God, I am here. Everything I have is here and it is for you. We have to understand that this prayer is everything. This prayer needs to be our prayers. This prayer is what many consider the most powerful prayer in the whole Bible. And that is because no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, we can all lay at God's feet and we can ask for His help. We can plead and beg for God's strength. There is nothing wrong with that. But we also need to remember that God is good. God's plan is perfect. God's will is the only thing that truly matters. That no matter what we are praying for, that we can say, guess what? I want this, Lord. But we also need to follow up with saying, God, I trust in you. I trust in your ways. Let your will be done and not my own. Jesus, knowing what is to come, you have to understand Jesus doesn't want it. He doesn't want to be abandoned by those who love Him. Jesus does not want to be spat on by those that He came to save. Jesus does not want to be beaten. Jesus does not want to be broken. Jesus does not want to be killed in a horrific way. And I think we would all pray the same prayer, please God, if there is any other way for this to happen, make it happen, please. But Jesus shows us that no matter how ugly life gets, no matter how horrible things in this world are, or what this world will do to us, we need to say, may it be your will that's done, Lord. The only thing that matters, Lord, is your will and not my own. So then Jesus gets up and he goes to the disciples that he left earlier and he finds them sleeping. And Jesus says to them, guys, 1 hour. You couldn't stay awake for 1 hour. And Jesus does what Jesus always does. He tries to help them and teach them. And he says, okay, I want you to keep a watchful eye. Stay awake. And the best way to do that is to pray. Pray so you will not fall into temptation. Pray because I know you're tired. I know that the flesh is weak, meaning that we cannot do it on our own. But the Spirit, who is God in us, He is all powerful. Pray so that you can stay strong through the Spirit in you. And then Jesus goes away again. And he prays the same thing. And we see that Jesus prays 3 times the same thing. Another amazing thing to see, because we are understanding it is okay to ask God again. It's okay to bring up the same things to God again. What's on your heart? What is troubling you? Do you ever feel that you're just repeating yourself in prayers? That you're only bringing up the same thing over and over and again to God? And you're going, man, He's probably tired of hearing from me. He's tired of me saying the same thing. But it's what's heavy on your heart. This is what was heavy on Jesus' heart. It's what he was struggling with in that moment. And Jesus prays to God 3 times in this short time frame about the exact same thing. God, I know what is to come. And if there's any other way, Lord, please let it happen in another way. But again, Jesus does not want his wants and desires to be filled. No matter what is to come, no matter what happens, may it be God's plan, God's will, and not our own. Jesus then finishes praying and he sees his disciples. They're sleeping again. And Jesus says to them, well, get up. Everything's about to go down. Jesus is ready for what is to come. Jesus is actually ready to follow God's plan that he knows is going to happen. And we know that he's ready because of the next part. So we're going to keep reading these verses 47 through 56. So Matthew 26, 47 through 56. It says, "While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. 'The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him.' Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. Jesus replied, 'Do what you came for, friend.' Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached out for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. 'Put your sword back in its place,' Jesus said to him. 'For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?' In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, 'Am I leading a rebellion that you've come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place, and that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled.' Then all the disciples deserted him and fled." So Jesus is approached by a large crowd that is armed with weapons. And Judas gives Jesus that kiss of betrayal, or some call it the kiss of death. The kiss was the signal of which one is Jesus. And after Judas points Jesus out, they grab Jesus. And one of the disciples, it doesn't say who in this one, but in the book of John, he totally points it out. And he's like, "It was Peter. He did it. It was Peter." But in this instance, it just says a disciple. But either way, one of the disciples pulls out their sword and cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant. And this is the moment that we know that Jesus is ready to be a part of God's plan and not his own. Because in verse 53, it says, Jesus says, I do not need you to fight this battle. I love that line. I don't need you to do this. I didn't ask you to do this. And he says, if I wanted to, I could ask God the Father to send 12 legions of angels to fight for me. Now, I have no clue how powerful an angel of the Lord is, but I'm sure that no matter how many people wanted to fight this angel in battle, they're not going to win. We could not stop one angel, let alone 12 legions of angels. And a legion is 5,000 to 6,000. That means Jesus is saying, I could call 60 to 72,000 angels to come down and fight this battle for me if I chose so. But Jesus didn't choose to save himself. Jesus chose to follow God's plan. And we see then that Jesus is arrested and he is taken. And what happens next? And then all the disciples, they abandon him, just like Jesus said it would happen. So what can we take from this part of Jesus' journey and ministry? The biggest thing is that Jesus understands our struggles. He understands our worry and troubles. He understands how hard this life is. But Jesus shows us that no matter what happens, no matter what's going on in our lives, God's will be done and not our own. And that's exactly what Jesus is showing us. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He could take care of it all by himself. If he wanted to, he didn't need to die on that cross. He didn't need to be arrested. He is pure. He is blameless. And he could say, "You know what, God? We're not doing this. I'm done. Bring down the angels and destroy everybody." But instead, Jesus says, "I've come to serve God." And I want to say, thank God that Jesus followed God's plan. Because that's what gives us our salvation. Is that Jesus stepped in. Jesus said, I will be that sacrifice for all mankind, for all sins. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. This life is temporary. And we are to use it for one thing. That's to serve God. While we are struggling, while we are suffering, we are to cry out to God and say, God, please help me. And then through it all, we are to follow God and His will alone. So bring God your hurt. Bring God your concern. And then pray to God that His will is shown to you for you to follow. So you can say, I want it to be you that I follow, Lord, and not my own. And then I pray that you will have strength and courage to follow God through whatever He's showing you. Over these next couple weeks, as we go through Easter, as we talk about the things that Jesus went through, we have to remember, yes, it was all so horrible. A lot of horrible things happened. But God shows us His perfect plan and will through it. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for every opportunity you give us to learn more about you. It's never easy to read these words, to hear about all of those people who claim they love you, they know you, and then they left you. I pray that we can follow you closely, that we can follow God's plan and God's will. We all have our own wants. We all have our own desires. We have those things that we say need to happen in our lives. I pray that we can accept your will. It's not always what we want, but it is the perfect plan. I pray that you reveal to us what that plan is so we can follow it, so we can give in to your plan, that we can lay down face first on that ground. And just say, God, may your will be done and not our own. You are the perfect Father, and all we have to do is follow you. As we go throughout these next couple weeks, as we're going through your death and resurrection, I pray that we can also see that you're real. This happened. This is not just a story. This is not just a moral. This is not just something to put us in line, but this is truth. We can see that you lived here. That you showed us the truth and the way, and that you died here. We can never repay you for sending your one and only Son for us. I pray that we take that free gift of grace, that free gift of salvation, and we say, yes, I know it's true. I know your Son. I know He died for me, and I accept Him. We love you, and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.